Welcome. You're listening to the Degrassi Back to Class podcast. I'm your host, Katie Durant, and Linda Burke is in Toronto. I'm in San Diego today, and I'm here to talk to Craig Driscoll, who played Rick Monroe on Degrassi Junior High. So we are in San Diego, California right now. We being myself, Katie. I have my friend Leanne here. Leanne, you want to say hi?
Hi.
And we are here with Craig Driscoll. Do you want to say hi?
Hi. How's that? Was that a good hi?
That was a good hi.
Hi.
He's walking around. He's getting ready. He's going to give me a tattoo. It's my first tattoo. And it's going to be a Degrassi tattoo. So, Craig, have you ever done a Degrassi tattoo?
I did. Some girl at one point got like, you know how in the beginning the generic openings, there's like the paper and then it says junior high on the junior high? Well, I did the junior high with like the stripes on some girl's ass probably 20 years ago.
Wow.
But then it's like, I live in America, right? So
yeah.
I'm sure it's not as popular here as it is in Canada.
Well, it depends, I guess, where you are in the States, because I feel like the East Coast, they seem to be more familiar with Degrassi.
Right.
Like, I dated this guy in university, and he was from Connecticut, so I went down to visit his family and his friends, and they were all freaking out because they knew I was a huge Degrassi fan, and they all loved Degrassi.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was in Connecticut.
I feel like if you're in the East Coast of the States, like in, say, Toronto, it's way more popular than if you're in the southern part of the States, like Florida.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you just some questions, Craig. So,
awesome. Let's do it.
How did you get your start in acting and Degrassi?
Well, I'm really, really good looking. And you can't tell because we're on a podcast. But, I mean, my looks really stood out.
Yeah.
So, actually, when I was a kid, I was never really good at school, and I hated it, and I got to do, because I hated school and I did really poorly, the educational providers thought it would be a great idea to have me do more schooling. So I got to go do Saturday morning classes, and I took some acting stuff in them. But I also used to break dance, and I used to race BMX bikes, mm-hmm. and through doing that stuff, I got exposure to people wanting to use me for ads for stuff.
Yeah.
And then breakdancing, I ended up doing like a couple commercials for like Nike and like what you know, just breakdancing commercials. And then Degrassi it's like a downtown Toronto kind of thing, kind of a little bit east coast. I mean, east side, like, right?
Yeah.
You know where it is.
East end of Toronto.
So I went to Earl Grey for junior high. So for grade 7 and 8, I went to Earl Grey. And they would kind of go to the school. I guess maybe Kit and Linda used to go to the school.
They used to teach at Earl Grey is what I heard.
Who?
Kit and Linda.
Taught?
They actually taught at Earl Grey.
What?
That's what Arlene Lott, who played Nancy, told me. Also, the interior of Borden High School was actually Earl Grey.
So when did they teach there? Not when I was there.
No, before the series started.
Way before?
Yeah. Like, before they started the production company. They were teachers, and they taught at Earl Grey.
Huh.
So, I mean, that's what Arlene Locke has told me. But yeah.
So she, Arlene is like the authority on Kit and Linda?
Yeah.
Like her word is bond?
Yeah.
I don't know that. I never knew that, actually. Yeah. And I mean, I used to talk to Kit quite a lot. I tried to never talk to Linda.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she did not like me. But so, they would come and do, I guess, trying to, like, recruit people,
yeah.
right? Like, the U.S. military goes to recruit kids. They would go to recruit kids to be on Degrassi.
Yeah.
And I think they walked in. I think it was Kit. He walked in, and I freaked out. And I was like, this is bullshit. Like, some dude can stop the class because he's an adult, but because I have stuff to say, I always get in trouble for it. It's, like, complete bullshit.
Yeah.
And he was just like, you know what? I'm good, and left. And I went down to the... I had to go to the office for it, and he came down and asked about me and was like, hey, do you want to be on the show?
I like this kid. He's got some attitude.
He's got some attitude. And I was like, I'm already an actor, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I do breakdance commercials and stuff. And he was like, yeah, that's great, you know?
Yeah, probably loved you there.
And then he was like, do you want to come and do, like, do you want to do a screen test?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you just asked me to be on your show. And so he convinced me to do it. I was really into BMX bikes at the time, so I rode my bike down. I think they were on, like, Carlaw or something.
Yep. That makes
sense. No, maybe they were on Queen.
Queen and Carlaw was the building.
Production house,
where
right?
The production house
was. Yeah, and they also did the workshops there.
Yep.
So I rode my bike down there and did the screen test. And I guess they liked me.
Yeah.
And
you know, this is the thing. I found... In the first two seasons of Degrassi Junior High, like, you are a major character. You're not like, you know, you have one episode of, you know, some of them have, you know, some of the kids only have, like, maybe one episode in season one and two. You had, like, the cover-up, rumor has it, smoke screen, bottled up, plus other episodes where you at least are part of it in some way. Like, you were a pretty significant character for the first two seasons.
Yeah? Is that, that's not even a question.
I'm just saying. Well, it's leading to this question, though.
Okay.
Like, have you rewatched any of season one and two?
Recently? I'll tell people that I was on the show.
Yeah.
And some people, like, will be like, oh, I've never heard of it or whatever. So I'll show them the intro the cover up.
Yeah.
And about 5 minutes into it, they're like, okay. And then they want to get on with the rest of their life.
Oh, my
right?
gosh. No
so,
way.
So, I mean, I show them on YouTube. I don't have, like, a DVD or anything. The production company, Playing With Time, gave us videotapes of them all on VHS, which I'm sure my mom probably has, you know?
Yeah.
And I haven't seen a VHS player in fucking 10 years anyway, so I don't know how I would... see them even.
Well, you can buy it on Amazon as a DVD
set. I feel
set.
Like I shouldn't
it's on
buy
YouTube.
My own...
It's on YouTube.
I know. We watch it on YouTube, and the quality is horrible.
Yeah.
I think... Who owns the production company now?
That's a good question.
They should send me a DVD box set.
Yeah.
I was in Edmonton one time in like that West Edmonton mall, mm-hmm. and they had just released them on DVD. And I walked into like... What's it? His Master's Voice, right? HMV?
Yeah.
Remember they used to have those big HMV stores?
Yeah.
So I walked into an HMV and there's a poster of me like 20 feet high.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm thinking, these motherfuckers, man, they don't give me any money for any of this.
Yeah.
Right? And my hatred grew for Linda.
Aw. Yeah.
But I still like Kit.
Okay, that's good. You still like Kit at least.
Yeah.
Can you explain why... your character just vanished? Because, okay, there's three...
Yeah, I quit.
There were three characters, but let me tell you, there's three characters that vanished. Well, they didn't vanish, though. Nicole Softman, who played Stephanie Kay.
Yes.
She apparently went off to private school because she wanted to record a sitcom, right?
But, yeah, she
so
quit.
She quit. So did the actress that played Vula. And they explained her disappearance as, like, she just moved.
But she had a big character, though, right? Like, her character was larger than mine. And so was Stephanie's. So when...
You and Vula were probably equal, I would guess. But
her name was Nikki, right?
Nikki, yes.
She was a sweetheart. I love her. And she just didn't want to do it. Like, she was like, this sucks. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Right? So then she left.
Yeah.
And then... who played Stephanie again? What's her name?
Nicole.
Yeah. So Nicole wanted to go and do bigger and better things.
Yes.
Right? So she quit to go do bigger and better things.
Yeah.
I quit because I wanted more roles. Like, I was like, look, you guys either need to give me more roles or I'm going to go race BMX bikes.
Yeah.
And, like, do other stuff that I want to do instead of give up my summers to be an extra. Like, I hated it. Like, every episode, right, you'd have to go every day. Like,
I
had to, and so if you went every day, sometimes they'd only pay you, like, $100 a day to be there.
Yeah.
Right? And I wanted to be financially motivated more.
Yeah.
And I had a sit-down with Kit and Linda about it. And Kit was like, yeah, for sure, man, we could write more roles for you. And Linda was like, no, I'm not going to let you use, like, these sort of tactics. If you don't want to be here, don't be here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, fine, I'm not going to be here then. And I went on to, like, race motorcycles and do other things. That were,
yeah.
You know?
Yep, yep. I just found it strange, though, that they never even explained your disappearance in the show. So...
I mean, how the storyline went in the show, I've never watched anything past the two seasons I was on.
Wow.
So I have no idea what happened after...
Yeah.
After I left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when I was on it, like, I didn't... So, a lot of the appeal of Degrassi was for kids who were like, oh, man, it's really cool. My parent was an alcoholic. Or, mm-hmm. or like, yeah, I'm really worried about trying to have sex for mm-hmm. the first time and
yeah.
stuff. But I had already been past all that. Like, by the time I was on the show, I was having sex, I was doing drugs, I was... you know, smoking pot, drinking.
Yeah.
I was, like, doing all that stuff already. Mm-hmm. So I was like, come on, kids do this shit all the time. And they were like, no, they don't. And I'm like, well, the kids I know do, you know? And so for me, the realistic aspect of it wasn't that realistic.
It wasn't that realistic to you.
To me.
Okay. To you me, know? It felt realistic. But mind you, I was very, like, sheltered teenager, I suppose.
I mean, I lived in Ontario housing.
Yeah.
At the time, and a lot of the other kids were pretty, came from pretty wealthy families.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Sarah, what's her name? Sarah Charlesworth?
Melanie? Or no, I don't know.
Sarah
Charlesworth.
Oh,
was she the one that played?
She was in the Kids of Degrassi.
Too. Yes, yes.
So I guess she was Stacy's buddy
yes.
on the show.
Yeah.
When I was
Susie.
On. Okay.
Her name was Susie on the show.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So her mom would drop her off in, like, a Jag and stuff. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And, like, I had to ride my bike in the morning at, like, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning to go to the production house so that I could go to... You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
And so living in Ontario housing, too, I was exposed to a lot of stuff that I'm sure
all those
none
other
of the
kids
other kids weren't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep. I asked, you know, I wanted other... fans of Degrassi to explain your disappearance. So I asked, and there was somebody named Dennis Peck, and this is what he said. He said, well, knowing Degrassi, it would have been something juicy. Naturally, I would think he got into trouble, did something bad, and went to juvenile detention. But I feel like he turned everything around. He moved to a new school, his dad and him built their relationship, and he got into sports. He's probably living with a grandparent or aunt or something and sees his dad on the weekends. With the tragedy of Wheels, Lucy, and Joey/Caitlin, I would want to think he had a happy ending. So that was Dennis Peck's perspective on what happened to your character. Do you want to hear what my perspective is?
I do. I've been dying.
Okay.
Like, actually, since you booked the appointment.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't wait until Katie
my theory.
Comes. So she can give me the theory on what happened to my imaginary character.
I think you're going to like it.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so...
Does
you
it
know,
involve porn? Did Rick get into porn?
Oh, I should have included that part.
Because that's what I...
I didn't include that part.
If I was going to make it up...
Yeah.
I would be like, Rick left early to get into porn.
Okay, well...
Because he was, like, already a failure, right? He was in grade 7
yeah.
for the second year in a row.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, okay, so if you remember, you had a brother named Frank.
I did have a brother named Frank.
Yeah. And
he had a motorcycle.
And he had a motorcycle, and you loved your
loved
brother
it.
Named
yeah,
Frank,
yeah, yeah.
right? So you
right.
were living with Frank. And
Well, at the end of the first thing, at the end of the cover-up, I go
yeah.
live with Frank.
You go live with Frank.
Right, so
and
from
Frank
then on,
so
I live
cool.
with Frank.
Yes.
Right.
So you're living with Frank, and you and Frank just keep on having troubles with Dad. That's
yeah.
continuing. And finally, you guys just, you have enough of Dad, and you decide you have to leave. So you get on Frank's bike, and you bike out to BC, and Frank, he starts selling weed, and...
Because we're in BC?
Because you're in BC.
That's so judgmental of you.
No, but
not like, everyone in BC smokes pot.
It
okay,
it makes sense though. Okay. And then you become an artist, and then you become a tattoo artist, and somehow you end up in California, and that's what happened to Rick.
I mean, then you're just kind of doing the what I did. Well, but I never sold pot in BC because that's too cliche.
Yeah. Right? Your brother Frank that did.
I sold tattoos.
It was you know, but it was Frank that did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is that the writers are writing stuff to, like, spark emotion, mm-hmm. right? So generally, with humans, good stuff doesn't spark as much of emotion as negative stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they were going to be creative writers, which they weren't always, but if they were going to be, like, super creative, they would have made some gnarly drama about what happened to them, right?
Yeah.
Like, him and Frank went and tried to fucking kill his dad, and then they had, like, a shootout, and they all died.
That's kind of like
Quentin Tarantino style, you know? But, yeah, or like, you know, he just moved away and started going to, like, Vanier or something.
Yeah.
You know? He moved to High Park.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I was going to ask you also, what do you think would have happened to Rick if he actually continued on in Degrassi High, but...
Hopefully he would have got to date Stacy.
Yes. So, Caitlin...
Because Stacy's super cute.
And she still is. And you guys, like, were totally...
We had a thing.
It was set up that you two would have ended up dating in Degrassi High, but then once you left, then it became Jeremiah.
You know why?
Because
Caitlin had an eye for value, and Rick was the most value for the dollar.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
low budget. Like, you didn't have to spend a lot to impress that kid.
Yeah,
right. He was super cute.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and he would defend her. He's a tough guy.
Yep.
Yeah,
I was like, you know, rewatching your episodes, I noticed a couple things, and that's like, well, first of all, you were ripped. You had muscles.
Yeah, I was old, though.
Like, were you working out?
I was like 15, and I was breakdancing and racing bikes and stuff. Like, I was a pretty active kid.
Yeah.
You know?
You could tell, because I was just like, whoa, look at this bike.
Nicole had a rack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, we weren't in grade 7 and 8 when we were filming, right? Like, I was in grade 9, I think.
Oh, you were in grade 9. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm pretty sure...
Because I was like, this kid is, like, in grade 7
but
or 8.
But I'm short,
has, like, muscles.
Right? Like, I'm short.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
I looked like that in grade 7 and 8, too, though. Because I used to break dance all the time.
Okay.
And
that
race
explains
bikes
it.
All the time.
That totally explains it, then. And the other thing was that, like, I called you Reality Check Rick.
And what do you mean? What do you mean was?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah, you are. Sorry.
Yeah. This is not video, right?
Yeah. We'll take some pictures of Craig Driscoll's pipes
now
and post them on our Instagram.
Yeah, there you
after
go.
After we record the podcast. So there you go.
My wife tells me all the time that when she married me, I had a six pack.
Yeah.
And now I only drink them.
So I don't know. You also were like kind of like... This kid, like, your character, you just, like, broke things down in a way where it was just, like, I called you Reality Check Rick. You know, there's times where, like, especially in the episode where your, it's called Smoke Screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there's the,
The Environmental Action Committee.
Exactly.
All we do is talk.
Yes.
There's no action.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you tell them.
Number one. A new name.
A new name, exactly. And then you convinced Caitlin to write a rap, and you guys do the rap on the PA system.
Yeah,
stop the stink.
No wonder she liked me so much.
Yeah, and then you were like, yeah, we have to go into this building, and we have to, like, talk to, you know. So, yeah, no, it was good. I like that you, like, you made things happen.
I think that they had a really, Kit especially had a really... big spot in his heart for my character.
Yeah.
So when they wrote stuff, they always made that character a little bit more, I don't want to say noble, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, he was the rough kid with, like, the heart of gold, and he was, like, a little more smart than he let on.
Yeah.
And he was, like, you know?
Yeah. That's totally, that was totally your character. Yeah. Now, I don't
know. I like to think that they got it from meeting me. Like, they were like, this
well,
is a kid.
Well, I think
know?
A lot of, like, so far from what I've realized from interviewing people and just talking to different people who are involved in Degrassi, a lot of the character development came from the actual people themselves. That's the way it seems.
The thing that bothered me the most, and it bothered me so much, is that when I first read for Rick,
mm-hmm.
he had a leather jacket.
Yeah.
Right? And it was like, Rick had a cool leather jacket. And the budget just wasn't there, I guess, to get Rick a cool leather jacket. They got him this ripped up jean jacket, and yep. they made an episode about it.
Yes, yeah.
Right? Where my character sold Pat's character a jean jacket.
Yep. Another jean jacket. Yep.
And I was like, oh, it bothered me so, I wanted to, like, because when I first read for the character, they made him out more like a, more of a James Dean character.
Yeah.
You know, and then when push came to shove and money came to dollars, he, you know, we had a jean jacket and stuff, and but apparently kids loved it. They loved the bike that he had. I was like racing BMX bikes, so I had amazing bikes.
Yeah.
And I had this like horrible bike that you couldn't ride. Yeah. It was difficult to turn, you know, it was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And kids loved it. They're like, I loved that bike you had. And I was like, oh, my God.
That's
you know, I couldn't go through drive-thrus for, like, 10 years of my life because people would be like, hey, you're Rick. I love that bike.
That's so funny. You know what? There is actually a fan of Degrassi, though he doesn't like to be called a fan. His name is Brian Donnelly, and he does a blog called Degrassi Panthers where he sees locations and he documents them on this blog. And he said that, you know, when you disappear from the show, your bike, and he's very observant, right? So he noticed that Rick's bike stayed in the bike stand. So even though Rick was gone, without an explanation, your bike stayed in that stand for season 3.
But that's because the crew loved the bike.
Yeah.
Right? Like Phil Earnshaw, who is one of the cinematographers, loved that thing. And like there was this grip, and I can't remember his name, man. He was a super cool, like, big fucking meathead dude, and I loved him, but he loved the bike. Those guys loved the bike.
Yeah.
And they would put it there all the time, and I don't know why they loved the bike so much, because I hated it. You know?
Yeah.
I guess at that point I had some really, really, like, because I was getting paid, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, they were paying me money. I got some big checks sometimes.
Yeah.
I had, like, you know, when I was, like, 15, I probably had a BMX bike that was worth, like, $2,000 or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to ride this thing was... I guess I was a bike snob.
Yeah. Well, and, like, the leather jacket, like, why couldn't you just bring in your real leather jacket? Did they make you do the jean
jacket? I was getting paid, so I probably had, like, a Roots leather jacket at the time.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's no way Rick can have a $700 leather jacket.
Yeah, exactly. He's supposed to be poor.
Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I went to Danforth Tech at the time, and the kids I hang out with were less than model students.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we all wore Letterman jackets. It was like our thing. You know, we'd wear Danforth Redman jackets, and
Yeah.
And they didn't want me wearing a Danforth Tech Redman jacket to...
Yeah, because it's Degrassi.
And it's Canada, so it's fucking cold.
Yeah.
So you need, if you live in Toronto, you probably have multiple coats.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. And some days you gotta wear them all.
Yeah.
You know? So I just think that I wore a lot of my own clothes, like a lot of the pants were mine.
Yeah.
Shoes, like I always wore, Rick always wore like Chuck Taylors or something.
Yeah.
You know? And then just shirts. I wasn't a Harley guy. I was never really into Harleys. I liked, you know, Suzuki's and stuff. And,
yeah.
So
that was actually from wardrobe.
So wardrobe was, like, my shirts and the jackets.
Yeah.
Right? Because he had another jean jacket with, like, fluffy collars and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they just went to, like, Goodwill and bought stuff.
Yeah, probably. That makes sense.
For all the characters, right?
Yeah.
They would just go buy the cheap
stuff. Or tell people just to dress in whatever
they had. I mean,
we
drew on all those jackets that Rick wore. I drew the stuff on it.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Because I could draw,
you know. Because you're an artist.
Right. And I could draw. So they were like, No, it's the same thing as the muscles. I'm still an artist, and I still have muscles.
Well, that's
muscles.
What I'm saying.
Stop with the word.
Well, I said you were back then, but are now.
I was an actor.
Yeah.
So I got into motorcycles, and then I went to see Stacy at one point, and she remembers this. They started filming Degrassi High, and I went to see her on like a GSXR 750 or something, like some popped up, crazy fast bike.
Mm-hmm.
And I get there, and I was like, hey, you know, I managed to get some grip to go get her and stuff, and she came out, and I was like, let's go for a ride, like, get on, you know? And they were like, no way, like, no way are we letting you take her with you anywhere, ever. Like, ever. You need
hilarious.
To go. Like, you need to go right now.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That was fun.
Yeah. I have some questions, actually, from somebody who's, she's basically put together a blog and Instagram and all kinds of social media things that she goes through each episode of Degrassi. Her name's, what do you call it?
Basically,
Handle is Broomheads with a Z.
Oh, I know her.
Okay, so you know her. Okay.
I didn't know it was a girl.
Yeah, it's a girl. I am really sorry, Broomheads. I don't know your actual name, so I'm just going to call you Broomheads. So she actually has some questions for you. So I said I would ask them on the podcast for you. So she wanted to know, did you think being on the show was dorky? He kind of seemed too cool for it.
I really did.
Yeah, you thought it was a dorky show.
I thought it was a dorky show.
Yeah.
And I took advantage of the situation when I could. Like, you know, if I went to Canada's Wonderland, I would get so many girls' numbers because I was on the show.
Yeah.
You know, and I would fully take advantage of that situation.
Yeah.
But I was a little embarrassed about it, too, at the same time, right? Like, when I was hanging out with my friends, you can't be a hard ass when you're on Degrassi Junior High, you know? And when I was a kid at that age, I wanted more than anything to be, like, a real hard-ass.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, like, and I'm still not.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, I got into tattooing and...
Yeah.
You know, I am what I am. But I was, like, for sure, I thought it was, like, dorky, and I wasn't. But even now, people will message me. They'll be like, you know, hey, I just friended you on this, and I'm a fan. I wanted to know this and this. And I'll answer questions for people when they message me and stuff.
Cool.
And they always say that they don't get that kind of response from other cast members.
Oh, no. Yeah, there's some that you won't. Yeah.
Which is kind of ridiculous. Like, so I just watched Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yeah.
And Jerry Seinfeld is, like, interviewing someone. And he talks about how it is when you go out in public and people take your picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he's talking to another comedian. And he's like, it's just a picture.
Yeah.
They deserve it.
Yeah.
You know? You're in public.
Yeah.
Right? So there's fans who love it. Mm-hmm. And if they're like, hey, man, I really love the show. Why did you leave? Or I'll answer a few questions. If it goes like, if they start asking me 30 or 40 questions, I'll be like, bro, I have to feed my kids.
Yeah.
You know? But I'll gladly answer
a question like, here or there or whatever.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, then here's another one for you.
Okay.
Did you have a best friend on the cast? Is there anyone that you kind of bonded with when you were on Degrassi?
No, I was definitely an outsider.
Okay.
They had parties and stuff, and I would go to them, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, but I would bring pot and stuff, or, like, acid and shit, and they were like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I would get wasted. Like, I got so hammered at the ROM. We had the first premiere of Degrassi Junior High at the Royal Ontario Museum.
Oh, wow.
And, like, everyone was in tuxedos, and
mm-hmm.
and I stole a bottle of champagne, I drank it all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I really liked Stacy, you know? And we still talk.
Yep.
But I didn't really, you know, it's not like Pat and I were buddies or anything. In fact, I think I didn't get along with too many people. Actually.
Yeah.
It was more like I didn't fit than I did.
Yeah.
I ended up, I got along more with a lot of the, like, grips or the, like...
People in production.
Production.
Yeah. Or adults.
Or more of the adults.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Because I feel like the kids that were on the show were kids.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was no longer a kid because I was, like, I grew up in a different environment, you know?
Yeah.
I moved out of my house when I was, like, 15.
Wow.
So, like, right after I quit, I moved out of my house.
Yeah.
You know? So, I feel like I just couldn't relate.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Did you miss it when you left? I'm going to take a wild guess and say probably not.
I did.
Oh, you did?
For sure. Yeah. I did. I think that it could have led to bigger and better things. Yeah. I think it was fun. I think that I just let my ego get in the way.
Yeah.
You know?
Your teenage ego.
My teenage angst.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, ego get in the way.
Yeah.
I'm sure that if I would have stuck with it, I could have probably, at this point, if I would have stuck with Degrassi, at this point in my life, I probably could have been, like, living in Southern California, being my own boss with, like, a family, a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, I do that.
Yeah. Did you ever get into any trouble on set?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, you tried to take Stacy away in a motorcycle, though.
That was after I was off the show, but I got in trouble constantly.
Yeah, you're...
Constantly.
Is there anything that sticks out?
No.
No?
I wish I could remember.
Yeah.
But, like, I got really drunk a few nights and then went the next day, like, super hungover and had to, like, sleep. And they always want you to do good in school. Like, they were always on me about...
Yeah. You have to keep your grades up to be on Degrassi.
That's what they said, but I never had, like... I never once had a good grade.
Yeah.
My entire life in school, the only time I ever got good grades was in high school art.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they didn't like that aspect of it. And I mean, you know, I was pretty flirty too. I think I was like super flirty with the girls who were like 15 and not anywhere near that stage in life yet, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Where I was totally at that stage in life.
Yeah. I have a question from another fan, Rachel Scully. She wants to know, what was your favorite storyline that you're involved in? Of like all the episodes, is there one episode that you kind of liked the most? Or you enjoyed recording?
That I was in, or that...
Actually, you know what? Let's open up and say like that you didn't have to be part of it, in case there is one.
I enjoyed acting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like 10% of what you do there, right?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it's waiting, a lot of it's standing for blocking lights and stuff, and, like, a lot of it's, like, setting up scenes and wardrobe changes and eating fucking shit food,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a lot of that. But I enjoyed actually acting, performing. I enjoyed performing. So regardless of what the storyline was, if I got to actually act...
Yeah.
You know?
When you're in front of the camera.
If I was in front of the camera acting, though. Not like being in front of the camera in a group over here walking from point A to point B. Because there was so much of that.
Yeah.
Okay, kids, walk downstairs now. Okay, kids, outside. Everyone's running to see the... I hated that shit. I hated it. But, like, there was a scene in the cover-up where I had to cry in my room.
Yeah.
And the magic of filming something like that...
Yeah.
Because there was no room, right? They made a little box mm-hmm. somewhere, right? Yeah. There was no bedroom.
Yeah.
There was no, like, the door was just a frame that I had to slam. You didn't see it from the other side.
Yeah.
And the magic of all that, and, like, doing that stuff by myself with like, a few crew members and, like, kit.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that. I love that scene. Actually, and you know what? Your house... I did a screen grab on my phone.
I think my house was a few places.
No, I think it...
Like, the bedroom I had?
The bedroom was probably a different spot than...
A different spot,
because I just, like, I Google mapped it.
And then I think the outside of the house was a different place than the actual apartment.
Yeah, so...
So there was a place where I would go and lock my bike up?
This is what it looks like today.
Right, right. So that's not where the house was, though.
No.
The house that I, like, where I gave Pat some soda or whatever,
yes,
or where, like,
house.
My dad hit me and knocked the cornflakes all over the place.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that was at a different location. Uh-huh. And then the room was in another location.
Wow, the magic of TV.
Magic of TV, yeah, yeah. That's part I loved. Yeah. I loved seeing that, because it's creative.
Yeah.
Right? But telling a group of kids to go across a field... While they film it is not creative, and I didn't like that aspect.
Yeah.
I guess one of the things is I always thought that it could be more than it was.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it could be better, and, you know.
And you wanted it to be.
I wanted it to be, like, super fucking cool.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And while a lot of people do think it was fucking super cool, right? To me, I was like, man, there's such better shows on television.
See? You know? I will disagree with you there. Okay, so, do you remember the episode, it was Rumor Has It, where you won the lottery.
I won 100 bucks in the lottery.
You won 100 bucks in the lottery.
Want a licorice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Grab my bag.
Did you bring me licorice?
I just bought you. Okay, so when you were handing out the licorice, you handed it out in a paper bag. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So I got a paper bag. I got you some licorice.
Okay.
So anyways.
Is that like a gift?
That's a gift for you.
So I'm going to tell you a story real quick.
Yep.
I have a friend who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he was awesome. And he was a tattooer, and he lived in San Jose. His name was Schmo.
Mm-hmm.
And Schmo was a tattooer before I was a tattooer. Before that, he was a graffiti artist and stuff. He's an awesome dude. Awesome dude.
Yeah.
I tattooed a bag of licorice on him.
No way!
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So that's probably my most special Degrassi tattoo ever. And I completely forgot about it because it didn't seem
And it was
like,
because of the episode?
Because, yeah, he loved it. He thought it was hilarious.
Oh,
he's like, my
God.
Buddy Craig was on the show.
Yeah.
And he got a
bag of licorice. That's so
funny. Yeah, and he was killed in a car accident.
Aww.
And he did a little painting for me that's up in my... I do ladybugs all the time.
Yeah.
Because people always ask, too. They're like, why do you like ladybugs? And I always lie to people because I don't fucking care.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm like, oh, because I like round red things. Or, this or that, right? The truth is, I love the contrast that a ladybug has and represents.
Yeah.
Right? They're called ladybugs. They're super cute, but they're mean motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And something about that I love. I just love it. Like, there are these little gnarly bugs that go around and rip the heads off of aphids and just kill them.
Yeah.
Like, gnarl. Right?
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, it's a ladybird, or oh, it's a ladybug. But they're gnarly.
Yeah.
You know? And I really love that contrast.
Yeah.
And I've never told anyone that before.
Well, you've now told
So now
everyone.
I've told everyone. So that's the true reason why I like ladybugs.
Yeah.
So Schmo did a... I'm a big fan of Star Wars. And Schmo did a drawing for me of a ladybug that's actually a Death Star in space.
Oh, cool!
And it's up in my bathroom.
Nice. Here.
So you'll have to take a picture of it for.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
I don't know if there's still a fund going for his family.
Yeah.
Because he had a wife and a couple kids.
Yeah.
But maybe you
if
could
there
put
is,
a link.
If there is,
to
I
it.
Totally would. Totally yeah. would. There's a weird connection as well with the licorice. When I went to the Degrassi reunion on June 2nd, and Dan Woods, who played Mr. Radich, was there.
I just talked to him.
No way!
Yeah, it's been forever.
Yeah.
Apparently he lived in Corona for like 15 years, and then when fucking Trump got elected, he was smart enough to get out.
Wow! Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and he went on to do really cool stuff too, right? He did like some car shows and stuff.
Oh,
like
okay.
I think it's like Chop Something Fix or something, like a couple car shows.
Oh, neat. Okay.
So I have a 1964 Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, I follow your Beetle on Instagram as well.
So it just got rear-ended.
Oh, yeah.
And I took it to this car shop, and we were talking, and the guy's like, that's funny, you're from Canada. I did this TV show once with Dan Woods. And I was like, oh, I know Dan Woods. And he's like, yeah, right, because you're from Canada, you know Dan Woods. And I was like, as funny as that sounds, that's not why.
Yeah.
I was on a TV show in Canada, and Dan Woods played my teacher.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And he was like, oh, that's that. And, like, you know, he would stop me in the hall and be like, what are you doing? When I would, like, when I was trying to beat up, you know, Yick and Duncan.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They'd, like, stop me in the hall.
Yep. I love that scene. Yeah, you're in the stairwell with them.
Yeah, right. Yep. So he's like, oh man, that's crazy. I did this show where I was like the body shop guy,
mm-hmm.
and Dan was like the, you know, the whatever, I guess,
the
like
host?
The host
yeah.
of the show. And I was like, no way, I'm going to hit him up. So I hit him up and I was like, hey, first I tried to friend him on Facebook and he didn't reply. And then I
he probably
messaged
was like,
him.
Who is this?
Yeah, fully. Like, who's this?
He probably thought you were a fan of Degrassi.
Yeah, I'm not.
No.
So I hit him up, and I was like, hey, what are you doing? I explained it, and he's like, oh, my God, Craig Driscoll.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
How are you? Like,
oh my gosh, yeah, that's so funny. Cool. He had a story about Neil Hope, you know, who played Wheels.
Yeah.
Because there was the Q&A kind of ended with, you know, does anyone have any memories of Neil Hope that they could share? And he said, his first day on set for Degrassi Junior High, he arrived and all the kids were like in the auditorium or gymnasium or whatever.
Oh, I remember that.
And so you remember that?
Yeah.
So I guess Neil was walking around with a bag of licorice and offered
it. I don't remember that.
He offered it to Dan. And so that was his memory that he shared. And it made me think, well, somebody must have wrote that into Degrassi Junior High when you walked around with the licorice.
I remember that when like, so we were in the auditorium doing stuff, and I remember that Neil was, like, late or something. And
yeah.
And wasn't really, I don't think he was part of the, like, workshops that we had to do or anything. Yeah. But because he was, like, a alumni, right? Because
yeah.
He was on the Kids of Degrassi.
Yeah.
He kind of got, you know, ushered in.
Yeah.
So when he came, and I think a lot of people were like excited to see him too because they like a
they
lot of the
worked
cast,
with him before, right?
Or they were fans of the Kids of Degrassi Street because they showed that stuff in school too.
Yeah.
Right. Like way before you were born.
Yeah.
I was watching the Kids of Degrassi at school.
Wow.
Right. And so like, you know, Sarah and Stacy and Tyson and Neil were all on that show.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, cool.
And so they got kind of, you know, ushered in through that. And then Neil was like a big part of the show, right?
Oh, for sure. Huge. Yeah. I guess like if you were to spend any money on other than $100 on licorice, what did you spend it on?
I'm pretty sure you spent all $100
on licorice. Yeah. I love it that you...
I feel like that character kind of was like all or nothing kind of
all
dude.
All or nothing, exactly.
You know, so if he won $100, he spent it all on licorice.
Yeah.
And he gave it all away.
Yeah. I remember when I watched that episode for the first time, I thought, like, if I went to a variety store and tried to buy a lottery ticket, they'd be like, no. But the 80s, I actually do have a memory of, like, as a kid going to a variety store and buying a pack of cigarettes for my friend's mom and buying her lottery tickets as well.
Man,
so it's
in
like
the
80s, like,
okay, in
you
the
could
80s,
get away
in
with
Toronto,
so much more.
There was like video arcades. There were arcades on Yonge Street.
Yeah.
And in the 80s, I would go down there and buy LSD off people at like midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And the arcades were open. You know, I was 15 or whatever, and my mom had no idea where I was. Like, could care less, right? It's midnight. I'm 15 buying LSD at arcades.
Yeah.
So, times have changed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, yeah.
And I believe for the better. Like, when, you know, people post things about, you know, you should beat your kids with a stick mm-hmm. on Facebook. I'm just like, yeah, that no good ever came of that.
No.
No beating no. children with sticks.
Yeah.
No buying LSD in the middle of the street at an arcade.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. One last thing about licorice. Before we move on, I just have to tell you my favorite scene. I think this might be my favorite Rick scene.
Uh-oh.
It's when...
All of my favorite scenes from Degrassi are Rick scenes.
This one is especially good, though, because you're going to the washroom, you're at the urinal.
Yeah.
Yik and Arthur are peering over because they think that you stole $20 from them.
Oh, yeah, 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 because I won the lottery.
Because you won the lottery, and I just love it. You freaking whip licorice over the bathroom stalls at them. Here's one for you, and here's one for you. That's my favorite Rick scene, I think.
You know, I'll tell you, when we filmed that episode, the licorice got so stale.
Yeah.
And so gross that it was like bricks by the end of it. Like, because each episode took a week to film.
Yeah.
You know, and they would get everything ready in the beginning of the episode for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would shoot for a week, right? And then it would go to post-production. So, that licorice was disgusting. And sometimes we didn't get breaks to eat for hours and hours. And I remember eating fucking rock hard licorice sometimes, being like, this is the worst.
It's so funny. Now I'm going to watch that episode with a totally like new perspective.
There were really fun. I think if I would have stayed with acting and became an actor as an adult,
mm-hmm.
I would have liked it a lot more, especially if I was working with other adults mm-hmm. and stuff. But I just feel like I was so misplaced at that point in my life. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like too old to be a part of the cast, and I was too young to be a part of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I was kind of like, and I mean, maybe that's just my own insecurities or whatever it is, or my own perception of the situation, but that's regardless, that's my perception of the situation, so that's what it is for you.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, so I feel like if I would have either gotten in earlier on the show
mm-hmm.
or stayed longer, it would have been okay. But
yeah.
I was too much of a square peg at that point to continue.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
know? Well, what did you do after Degrassi? Like,
a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
A lot of drinking. I raced motorcycles. I sold drugs. I got really into animals
mm-hmm.
for a while. And I worked at a couple pet stores.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really cool pet store down on Parliament and kind of just south of Danforth.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Danforth over there, or is it when it turns into Bloor?
Parliament would be where
it's Danforth,
turns into
right?
Bloor.
Okay, so just south of that a little.
Yeah.
There's this amazing pet store called Menagerie Pet Shop.
Yeah.
And I worked there for maybe a year, and it was awesome. It was like, right, you know, it's that kind of like open neighborhood. The vibe is really liberal.
Yeah.
You know, the gay community flourishes there and
yeah.
stuff. It's like my kind of people,
mm-hmm.
right? And I worked there for a while, and I really started getting into tattooing and more into art because of the culture I was surrounded with.
Yeah.
And, it was, and you know, like, Gordon Downey?
Yeah.
Gordon Downey used to go there all the time. Stacy went in a couple times. She was dating some dude, I think, that was like a VJ on MTV.
Yeah. Or and, Much Music.
Much Music. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So she would come in with him and stuff. So I would see people.
Yeah.
And I mostly took care of the animals. Like, my job was like to
care for the animals.
Care for animals. So I did that for a little while. I was really into reptiles and fish. So
yeah.
I did that for like a year, and then tattooing. Tattooing became my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I right immediately as soon as I started tattooing, it was on. You know,
yeah.
I traveled all over the world tattooing.
Wow.
Got really, really a lot of recognition for tattooing. I've been in hundreds of tattoo magazines and
yeah.
had like dozens of articles. I've been in dozens of books.
Yeah.
Right.
Awesome. That's so awesome. And now I'm getting a tattoo from you. Yay!
Yeah. A bag of licorice.
Yeah.
All
I did was pay him a bag of licorice, and I'm getting a tattoo. No. Just kidding.
And some other stuff we're not allowed to mention.
So,
The barter system.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. So, speaking of tattoos. So, I was with Dio Adeh, who played BLT earlier this week, and I just want to let you know... I told him I was going to come see you and get a tattoo, and he was like, "What? No way! You tell him that I want to go and get a tattoo from him." So Dio wants a tattoo from you.
Awesome.
So and he's already got some tattoos.
What is he doing?
He's acting. He's acting in a bunch of different things, and he's starting producing.
I have a good friend, who's a tattooer who tattoos Drake.
Oh,
all
yeah?
the time. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, "You should come and hang out," right? Well,
yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't really want to go hang out with Drake. There's like nothing that's...
Well, the one connection you'd have is Degrassi. So if you
yeah,
did
yeah.
hang out with him, you could talk Degrassi.
Yeah, we have 1 degree of separation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We both know. How long was Kit with... Is like Kit still involved? Or did Linda and Kit's divorce get him out of...
I think he's out, and no one knows what happened to Kit, as far as I know.
I loved that guy.
Yeah.
He was like... Even then, I found him to be really inspirational.
Aww.
Like, he was English, so he talked
yeah.
great, and he was smart.
Yeah.
I really liked Kit.
Yeah.
And I never understood why he was with Linda.
Yeah.
You know? But I was never a fan of Linda.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Well, if I get in touch with Kit, I'll let you know, and I'll send him...
Is he even still alive?
I think so, but no one knows where he is, as far as I know. If anyone knows where Kit is, please get in touch with me.
Yes.
And get in touch with Craig, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or just, if you're listening, Kit,
If you're listening, Kim.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jan Moore, who wrote Degrassi.
Yeah.
I remember Jan. He's still around. He was at the reunion on June 2nd, but he didn't participate in the Q&A. He seems kind
of
shy.
You, Kit was the coolest guy out of everyone there. The whole thing, Kit was the coolest person involved.
Yeah.
For sure. Way cooler than Drake. What's Drake's name? Does he have a real name?
Drake?
Yeah.
What is it? I know what.
No, Aubrey Graham.
Aubrey Graham, that's right.
You can speak up over there, lady.
Yeah. And his character name was Jimmy Brooks.
And was that Next Generation?
Next Generation.
Because he just put out a video.
Yes.
And Stefan was in it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And Stefan was awesome. He's like a nice
because he became kind of like the Raditz on the Next Gen.
Right. And was Raditz on the Next Gen?
I believe he was. But you know what? I have to admit, being the Degrassi fan I am, I'm old school Degrassi.
Anything from high back?
Yes.
Like high, junior high, the kids up?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all that counts, right?
Yeah, to me.
Really all that counts is the first two seasons of junior high.
There is, like, in the Next Gen, they do start out with, like, some of the old characters come back. But it's been a while since I watched
it. Just like Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Just with way less of a budget.
Yeah. Yeah,
so. It's like
Emma's Baby that they spin off, right? Yeah. So, they asked me to go, I got an email about being on the show when they, went for Next Generation about being a tattooer who tattooed an underage kid or something.
Oh, no way!
And I was like, no fucking way I'm not doing that. Like, I'm a tattooer, it's serious shit. We don't tattoo underage kids, man. Mm-hmm. Kick rocks. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Episode didn't happen then.
No.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, that's good.
I mean, if they weren't wanting me to do something that was cool, come back and do something cool, because it would have been cool if Rick came back and was a tattooer.
Yeah.
You know?
And gives, like, Joey Jeremiah a tattoo on the show or something.
Right.
Yeah. But to
or
do
it, anyone that was, like, old enough to get a tattoo.
Yeah.
Right? Like Stefan, who was, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But not, like, an underage kid and make it some sort of stupid drama.
That's good you have morals. You're not just like, okay, well, I'll do it because you're going to pay me or something like that.
I mean, I would do a lot of shit if someone paid. Like, if you pay me the right amount, I will do anything.
Yeah.
However, I love tattooing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's done a lot for me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, you know.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Like, I wouldn't tattoo Drake on someone's forehead.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
You know.
Well, that's what I wanted today. No, okay.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
You can just go.
Would you, Pat Mastroianni has been really into doing Degrassi kind of reunion things and conventions and things like that.
Yeah, they asked me to do it, but I'm not, I would only do it if it was in San Diego. I'm not going anywhere.
So you wouldn't come to Toronto?
No. Toronto is the last place I would, like, if I got to get on a fucking plane and go somewhere.
Yeah.
Toronto would not be it.
Yeah.
Because I spent 30 years there. Right? I've seen it.
Yeah.
If you're going to risk your life to get on a metal crazy thing, I would want to go somewhere like Japan or Hawaii, somewhere that I've never been, that would, you know?
Yeah.
But San Diego Comic-Con is the biggest Comic-Con in the world.
Yeah.
They probably just can't get a booth.
Well, I would imagine that's probably why, too.
Right.
As big as Degrassi.
They could get a booth outside. Right? Yeah. And I'll go hang out outside with them.
Yeah.
You know?
Do Degrassi tattoos there?
I did. You know, there was... I was in a book called The Force in the Flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by a Canadian. His name is Shane Turgeon. And he's awesome. And he got a booth at the Comic-Con. And I went and signed books for... It's like a Star Wars tattoo book.
Yeah.
And I got to go to Comic-Con and sign books for that. You know? So if Shane can get a booth, I'm sure Kevin Smith can get you a booth at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I would gladly show up.
There's an idea. Pat, if you're listening, contact Kevin Smith and make that happen.
I've talked to Pat a bit, too, in the last little while, you know?
Yeah.
He grew a beard.
Yes.
Looks great on him.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, oh, hey, this looks great.
Yeah.
You know? And I think he was like, fuck you, Craig.
I have, like, one last thing from that came from a listener of our podcast. She said, as a boy, my husband was beaten and traumatized by his father until about the age of 15, when he was finally big enough to physically to fight back. The beating stopped, but the verbal abuse lasted until his father died about 6 or 7 years ago. The character Rick played too close to home, and the abuse scenes reduced my husband to tears. He said it was done so realistically, especially when Joey was present at the beginning and was pushed out the door. That feeling of dread, embarrassment, and anger knowing friends found out. Very powerful acting from kids to kids. Personally, I can't watch that episode, but I love Rick and all of his adventures. You made an impact.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm getting teary just reading it.
And you know, parents shouldn't fucking hit their kids.
Yeah.
I've got 4 kids, I don't hit them.
Yeah.
And there's nothing makes me angrier than when people post stuff about on Instagram or Facebook about hitting your kid with a fucking stick.
That's terrible.
Like, the most defenseless person in your house.
Yeah.
The littlest, most innocent person in your house you hit with a fucking stick.
Yeah.
You know what? You get to hit your wife, too. You get to hit anyone who's smaller than you with a stick.
Yeah.
It's no way to live your life. And my mom used to beat the shit out of me, too. Until there's a point when they can't.
Yeah.
And that doesn't tell you how to be a good person. That doesn't teach you how to treat your wife.
Yeah.
That doesn't teach you how to do anything.
Yeah.
You know? And...
Was it hard for you to play that character and that role?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Like, in fact, it was pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I would like it to be really hard for my kids to play that role ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. The father who played your father in the episode...
Passed away recently, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any memories of him?
I mean, I think we only shot for a day.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought he looked like Gord Downie, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was about that.
I could see that.
And Kit was super excited, because he's like... So my dad went to prison when I was just a little kid, right? So I never had a dad.
Yeah.
And then my mom told me how horrible he was his whole life. Like, so I'm going through life thinking my dad is this most evil Darth Vader ever.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, I'm 15, he gets out of prison. My mom's like, dad's moving in again.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, later I realized that my dad probably just wanted to get away from my mom.
Yeah.
So he thought prison would be better than being around my mom.
Yeah.
Right? And then that never worked out.
Yeah.
And so Kit was really excited because he's like, he looks just like you. Right?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, he doesn't look anything like my dad.
Yeah. Huh. He was a really good actor in it.
Great actor.
Great actor in it.
Yeah, yeah. Great actor. And he was a great actor. Like, there were scenes when he's, like, in the fridge, and I remember going through rehearsals, and he was like, this is how, because I wasn't around adult actors that much, right? Like, other than, like, who played, like, Dan and, what was her name?
Oh, Miss Avery, Michelle Goody?
Michelle.
Yes.
Right? So other than those, we weren't really around adult actors a lot.
Yeah.
And in that episode, we went to Joey's house, right? And we like, Joey's parents were actors and stuff. But out of all of them, the one who played my father was the most professional. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to explain. Like, he was very serious. He went over things, and like he was really good at what he did. For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
And that episode, I think, a lot... Like, I got tons of fan mail. Like, tons of fan
yeah.
mail. And a lot of it was about that episode.
Oh, for right? sure.
And a lot of people are like, I'm going through that, too.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Wow.
Right? And it's so good to know that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's weird, you know? Like, I have a lot of beliefs about things. And when you finally see something, so around 10 years ago, I saw this movie called Zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. And I had beliefs about life here on Earth and life as humans.
Yeah.
And I felt really alone about my beliefs, right? Like, because most people don't believe the same thing that I believe.
Yeah.
And I saw this movie, and to have a movie that you can relate to and be like, I'm so glad that other people feel this way.
Yeah.
Or I'm so glad that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
It's such a great feeling. So yeah. I think that one episode did that.
Oh, for sure.
And the same with Bottled Up, right? Like
yeah.
Bottled Up, a lot of people were like, yeah, my mom fucking sits on the couch all day.
Yeah.
Drunk.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And it teaches you two things. One, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
And two, not to do that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. I would never beat my kids. I would never lie on my couch all day drunk.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Ever. Because my kids are way more important than that.
Yeah.
Right? They need to see someone who works hard, who loves them, who loves their mother. Mm-hmm. It's so important. Like, yeah. that is such an important part of life.
Yeah.
And who will stand up for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not... Like, if my kids... You know, if they want to... If they're... Whatever they choose to be in life. If, like, one of them wants to be gay, the other one wants to be in the military, and the other one wants to be, God forbid, a Christian. Right?
Yeah.
That I'm there for them.
Yeah.
Right? And I'll support them in their choices.
Yeah.
Because I love them. Not... I don't love them because they're the way I want them to be.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how most parents are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. You're a good dad.
Maybe.
I think you are. But yeah, no, that's it. That's all my questions that you have that
okay.
I have for you. So, yeah, thank you so much.
No problem.
I think it's time that I get a tattoo.
Well, you know, it's kind of gotten late now.
Yeah.
And I think I'm over it, so.
Okay, I was very nervous anyway.
You're going to have to come back. You're going to have to come back another day.
Yeah. Yeah, so check us out on Facebook, Degrassi Back to Class. We have a community there, and Instagram as well.
And go to CraigDriscoll.com and buy some prints.
Buy some of his prints.
And my kids are really hungry. They need to eat. They tell me every morning, Dad, I'm hungry. I need to eat.
Yeah. And come to San Diego and get a tattoo.
That too.
Yeah. All right. And I'll post some pictures of the tattoo. And if, Craig, you want to, if we can.
And Schmo's.
Oh, yes. Schmo's picture
Schmo's
as well.
Painting. Yeah.
It's painting. So, yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. And tune in next time. Bye.